When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Brought to you by Apple Card. Hey, you could be earning 2% daily cash back on that purchase. And that one. And even that one. That's because Apple Card users earn 2% daily cash back on every purchase, including everyday items they buy online or in-store when using their Apple Card with Apple Pay. Not an Apple Card customer? You can apply in the Wallet app on iPhone. Subject to credit approval, Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Terms and more at apple.co/benefits.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, May 12th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you're all doing well. Your boy is back from Mexico, spent the past few days in Mexico for a wedding. Shout out to Brian and Kelsey. Was an amazing wedding, an amazing time. Got some sun, did get a little sunburned. I feel like it's almost impossible not to get sunburned. I'm very diligent with sunscreen, or I guess sun spray. I don't know what you would say. I like the bottle over the lotion. I feel like the lotion, it's just like, it's hard to rub in. I feel like it's always on my face. The spray I like to use. I spray it all over. I do a good job with it. But when you're laying out like hours every day in the sun with friends, it's hard to be super diligent with it. So did get a little sunburn, but it'll turn into a tan. So hopefully that is a good thing. But I feel good. I'm excited to be back. Excited to be back talking to you guys. Love doing the schedule pod on Monday. God, I can't wait for the schedule to come out on Thursday. But just thinking about what the schedule could look like in the Monday pod was a lot of fun. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. I did my 2026 mock schedule for the Eagles. And I had him at 14-3, so we'll see how much the actual schedule impacts what I have them at. But yeah, I thought that was the perfect schedule. But now I'm back and I'm excited to keep talking to you guys about the Eagles. Got a bunch of different things in today's pod. Of course, with, you know, the main stories in the city right now really being the Sixers in a negative way, unfortunately. Got a little bit of thought on that and the idea of one fan base owning another. We have an update on how Jalen Hurts and Sean Mannion's relationship is going. Got a little UR Bernard thoughts from a national reporter. And then, of course, some more speculation about what could happen with the AJ Brown trade. So a lot to get into. But first, if you haven't yet, go check out GoBirdsInsider.com. It's the new extension of the Go Birds family. It's a website. Every morning you get an email with three thoughts on the Eagles, two stats to know, and one thought on a player. So open, you know, start your day. Unfortunately, we probably all open our phone as soon as we wake up. Check your email, and you got some Eagles news right there to kind of pair along with the Go Bird Daily Pod. So there's different things in each. I try to keep it separate. I don't think you need to read the same things that you're listening to, but just more Eagles thoughts to open your day. But the cooler part to me is the chat room. We all hang out in there. We're all talking. We have a Philly sports aspect of it now. So, you know, doing some Sixers talk over the weekend. So if you haven't checked it out yet, go check out GoBirdsInsider.com. Become a real one. Become an insider and come hang out with me. I would really appreciate it if you guys did it. And we do have a pod coming later in the week that will only be for insiders. It's someone requested, and I'm super excited about it. All right. But the big story, while I was in Mexico, and let me tell you, there's lots of ways to watch your team lose. Watching them lose on a resort with like basically nobody around on one TV in Mexico, certainly one of the more painful ways to watch a team lose. So the Sixers season falls apart, and a big part of it has been this idea. Not this idea, it's a fact. It has been how many Knicks fans were at the Sixers stadium. And as a result, Josh Hart, who played for Nova, came out and said, you know, I think kind of tongue-in-cheek, he knew what he was doing about Philly not being a sports town, right? He thought it was a sports town. He guesses he was wrong. And to be clear, I think the way the Knicks took over the Sixers stadium is a bad look for Philly sports. It just flat out is. We can come up with all the excuses we want. The cost of tickets, the travel, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is, if Philly fans took over another stadium, we'll talk about that in a second, the way the Knicks fans took over that stadium, we would mock that fan base ruthlessly and endlessly. So there's no defending this one. But to me, what's being a bit missed here is to why it's happening. It's happening because people don't believe in the Sixers. And more Knicks fans believe in the Knicks than Sixers fans believe in the Sixers. That's what's happening. Like, playoff tickets were expensive to Flyers games. It was mostly Flyers fans, right? And I think a good example of this, and ironically, it involves both a Philly team and a New York team, is the way the Eagles have owned the Giants for really the past like 15 or 16 years. So the Knicks absolutely owned the Sixers, knocked them out of the playoffs in embarrassing fashion this year, take over the stadium every time they play them, and knocked them out of the playoffs 2 years ago. Like, fully owned the Sixers. They owned the Sixers. It's one of the worst ways I can remember another team owning a Philly team in this way. Like, there have been teams that have beat the Eagles a bunch in a row, but no opposing fan base ever takes over the Eagles stadium. There have been teams that have owned the Phillies, but even Phillies in this era really have not had the ballpark taken over, right? I don't remember the World Series being like that against the Yankees, and I remember there being Mets fans 2 years ago, but not in the way that the Knicks fans took over Sixer Stadium. So there's not a ton of examples in my lifetime of a fan base owning a team the way the Knicks own the Sixers. But I also think the best example of the reverse is the Eagles owning the Giants, right? Like, the Eagles have absolutely owned the Giants. Since 2010, the Eagles are 25-8 against the New York Giants. 25-8 since 2010. They've played in the playoffs one time during that stretch, and it was a 38-7 shellacking by the Eagles, where the Eagles took what was really the most optimistic season the Giants have had in a long time and just completely obliterated them, and the Giants have kind of never been the same since. And as a result of the fact that the Eagles always beat the Giants have not been Super Bowl contenders for a long time, the Giants have not been good for a long time, every time I go to MetLife, it's almost all Eagles fans. It's like empty, there's some Giants fans, and then it's mostly Eagles fans. When I go to Washington, right, mostly Eagles fans. But the reason that happens is not because New York's a bad sports town. I do think it is an overrated sports town, but it's not because it's a bad sports town. It's because the Giants suck and the Giants have been terrible and the Eagles own them. So the Sixers thing, I do think, is a direct result of the fact that people don't believe in the Sixers. Now, you could criticize fans and saying that you don't want to be fair weather fans, you should be there no matter what. But the reason so many Knicks fans come to the Sixers games and take over is because Knicks fans believe in their team more than the Sixers believe in, Sixers fans believe in their team. And the reason that Eagles fans take over MetLife is because Eagles fans correctly believe in their team more than Giants fans believe in their team right now. So I think this is not some like huge indictment on Philly sports fans. I don't think it's some problem that's always going to be there. If the Sixers won 65 games this year and have been good for the past years, it would have been mostly Sixers fans in that stadium, but that's not who they've been. So I think it's a bad look for sure for Philly sports in general, right? Like, of course it is. Like, an opposing team took over a stadium, but I think it's just a result of what the Sixers have done more so than a result of extenuating factors. And the Eagles do own the Giants in a very similar way to the way the Knicks own the Sixers. So just wanted to get my thoughts out on that. Thought about it a lot while I was, you know, sitting by the pool and flying back. All right, a little bit of news as we wait for the schedule to come out. Speaking of the Giants, week one, Cowboys at Giants, Sunday night football. Eighth time in 15 years they've put this matchup in week one. And I think it's such a terrible matchup. Like, I don't think it's exciting. I am a big brand guy. Like, I love big, like, historic franchises playing against each other. But for some reason, Cowboys and Giants just doesn't do it. Maybe it's because the Giants have been terrible for so long. Obviously, this year with the new coach in Harbaugh, Jackson Dart, like, there are a little more intriguing aspects of the Giants. And as we talked about last week, I think the Giants... Wow, it sounded like my voice cracked there, but absolutely did not. For some reason, the way I said week just came out like that. But for some reason, last week we talked about it, right? I do think the Giants will be better this year. But this matchup just doesn't do it for me. It's boring. MetLife is a stadium that has no juice, as we just talked about. So Cowboys at Giants week one to start as we await the Eagles schedule. I put this in the Go Birds Insider email on Monday, but I would definitely work on your passports if you're an Eagles fan wanting to go to a game overseas this season. I think the Eagles will be playing in London. I would expect it in early October, maybe October 11th-ish, somewhere around there. And I'd expect it to be the Jaguars. So if you want to go on a trip, I'll be there. We can all hang. But I would fully expect the Eagles to be in London this year playing the Jaguars in early October for your schedule. So just something to keep in mind as we wait for the schedule news to come out, which is Thursday at 8 o'clock. And you already know we're going to have a lot of pods, me and James, talking about the schedule. All right, now let's get into some other Eagles news. So this came out over the past day or so, and it's Jeremy Fowler talking about the relationship between Jalen Hurts and new offensive coordinator Sean Mannion. This is Jeremy Fowler speaking on ESPN, and he had some encouraging things to say about where things stand between the quarterback and the new offensive coordinator. So here is Fowler on their relationship.
Approach it full bore. He's been working out off-site on a practice field with some of his receivers. Devontae Smith has shown up. New veteran Elijah Moore, who joined the team recently, has been out there working out with Hurts, who's trying to get the steps down for his new offensive coordinator, Sean Mannion, who's going to have him under center more, play action similar to what you saw with Green Bay. So these are pretty drastic shifts compared to Hurts. What he wants to do, what his preference has been in the past, is to be under shotgun. But I'm told from a team source he's been more open than he ever has been to those sort of monumental changes, and he really likes how Mannion has structured the offense so far.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes.
Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So obviously it's good to hear encouraging things. It's always good to hear good news over bad news. But I have a lot of thoughts on this, and they're not all probably going to be as optimistic as you might want. So first, I would say the idea that like someone's hearing Jalen and Sean Mannion are getting along is a little bit to me like, you know, hearing a player is in the best shape of his life. I would hope so, right? Like, I would hope a player is coming into camp in great shape. And I would hope that Sean Mannion, in like the 6 weeks he's gotten to interact with Jalen, hasn't completely blown it. Now, I think it's a good thing in the way that Sean Mannion doesn't have a proven resume. And it seems like Jalen is getting along with him, right? Based off the Jeremy Fowler thing. But everything should be going great now, right? They're talking about plays and they're meeting and they're on the practice field, like not even really practicing football yet, right? So if it was going bad already, that would be a horrendous sign. I don't think you'll truly know how things are going to be between Jalen and Sean Mannion until the bullets start flying during the season. There's hiccups, plays don't work well, struggles happen. Then you'll find out where their relationship truly is. But it's good that they're getting off to a good start. I think you could probably take that exact quote and replace every offensive coordinator's names Jalen's ever had, right? Like, I think this is just positive offseason talk. And we'll find out later on if they truly like are going to be a duo that works. But when we were talking about hiring offensive coordinators, one thing I said I thought this team needed because of the stars that were on the roster was someone that would command the respect of the room. So it does seem to be a good sign early on that Sean Mannion and Jalen, you know, so far, right, are in a good place. So that is encouraging to hear. I just don't, it's not like getting me all excited about what's going to happen, because of course they should be getting along. It's very early on. But I do think the part that is encouraging, and I do think this is true, right? I fully believe this just based off everything I've heard and everything, is that Jalen is more open to change now. But I would also say that's probably because he has to be, right? Like, this isn't this, maybe he's wanted to do more under center stuff. The only problem with me fully buying into that is I think if Jalen wanted to do more under center stuff, they would have done more under center stuff. If Jalen wanted to do all these different things on offense, they would have done it. I think that, you know, this is kind of the age old question with this Eagles core is it Jalen that reason the offense looks the way it is, or is it Sirianni and his offensive coordinator wanting to take care of the ball? And the truth is, like, it's a little bit of both. I think it's mostly Jalen, because I think you coach to your players' strengths. But I also do believe that Nick thinks, and I think Jalen agrees with this to an extent, that you win football games by taking care of the ball, winning the turnover battle, and they've been extremely successful that way. They've made a lot of money that way. They've won a Super Bowl that way. So I think it's a little bit of both, but ultimately, I think Jalen has things he likes to do, things he doesn't like to do, and they've done the things he likes to do. Now, if Jalen hears the noise about him not wanting to do certain things, about him not being able to do certain things, and wants to try to prove people wrong, then yeah, I do believe that he would probably be more open to this stuff. Because by the way, if he has a bad year and is not able to do those things, it'll be a real big inflection point in his career. Because like, he won't be the Eagles quarterback in 27 if he struggles this year. And you wonder what other teams would bring him in. I still think he will obviously have a job in the NFL. He's an extremely accomplished quarterback that has a lot of really good, you know, things about his game. But the question would be, would a team like hand him the starting job if in 26 he shows he can't run a certain type of offense, he can't go under center, he can't throw over the middle? Like, then it could get kind of tricky. So I do believe that Jalen is at a point where he is more open to doing it, and more open to doing things he's been reluctant to do in the past. So I fully believe that he's going to try. Like I 1,000% believe it. The question is just, if he can't do it, what do they do then? Do they pivot back during the season? Like, does he keep trying? What's his tolerance level going to be for struggling? Because I think it's only natural with the new offensive coordinator, new offense, there'll be moments of struggle. So that's really what it comes down to, is how big will their tolerance be? And that's where the first part comes into play too. Like, if Mannion and Jalen can actually grow a strong relationship in the few months before week one, it'll help when things start to struggle. But them right now getting along just doesn't really do much for me, other than it's good to hear, but I don't think it's a sign of amazing things to come. I think they're two new coworkers who are giving each other the benefit of the doubt to start, and I commend them both for doing that. But Jalen being more willing to do things is the true news here, and how long he sticks with it will really kind of decide his future with the Eagles. All right. So I thought this note on a player that, you know, it's not often we talk about seventh round picks this much. In fact, I would even say when the Eagles took Jordan Mailata in the seventh round way back in the day, and yes, it is way back in the day now, that it wasn't as much this much talk. But because of the success of Mailata, I think more people are intrigued with Uar Bernard than a lot of the other draft picks. So Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated wrote a column recently and kind of talked about why he believes Uar Bernard will be a successful pick for the Eagles. And I thought this in here is very noteworthy as we start to think about what the Eagles roster will look like. So Albert Breer, here's part of what he wrote. Quote, Lurie, so actually a little background here. This is the context of prior to the 2024 Super Bowl, when the Eagles smacked the Chiefs, Albert Breer sat down with Jeffrey Lurie and they talked about Jordan Mailata. So here's what Albert Breer writes, quote, Lurie compared drafting Mailata to his beloved Celtics spending a top 10 draft pick on Larry Bird in 1978, knowing they wouldn't get him until 1979. Quote, this goes back a little to the Larry Bird example, said Lurie. Could we say he's the 53rd player on the roster no matter what for the next 3 years? That was the attitude. We're just going to develop him, speaking about Mailata. He didn't even know what the shape of American football looked like. We knew he was a good person. He was very young. We didn't want to take a chance on not drafting him. I was all about development. It was identifying through our coach, Jeff Statland, the physical potential. It was also just allocating, saying the first 2 or 3 years may not be great, but he's our 53rd player no matter what. There's never going to be discussion of him not being on the roster, end quote. And that is noteworthy when we think about this Uar Bernard situation. I said when they drafted him, I think he'll make the 53-man roster. If I were to do a 53-man roster, he would be on it. And I think this is why. Like, when they drafted Mailata, they kept him on the team to develop. I think they will do that with Uar Bernard. They will not expose him to another team being able to poach him away from the team. They won't put him through waivers. They won't put him on the practice squad. I would say 99% chance he is on the 53-man roster. If he's just like, honestly, I think it would have to be more of a personal thing. Like, he's not willing to do the work. He's not as interested in football as they thought. He's not like a good student in the classroom, right? And even then, I think they'll give him some grace because he is moving to a new country and there's those type of things you have to get used to. But I believe they'll keep Uar Bernard on the 53-man roster, practice him for a full year, and then he might just honestly be inactive every week because you want him to be able to practice. He can't be a shady IR candidate because then he can't practice. So I think there's a really real chance that he is the 53rd guy on this roster, and that'll impact the rest of it, right? Because then they won't be able to keep an extra receiver, an extra linebacker, an extra safety, but they believe it'll pay off. So watching him in training camp is going to be fascinating. Watching him in preseason games is going to be super fascinating. And I think he will be in the roster all year. Now, the other part of that, as I just mentioned, is it's kind of a move you can make if you have a super stacked roster with not many holes. Not that the 53rd roster is some huge roster spot, but other teams that don't have the talent the Eagles have couldn't do something like this. I think the Eagles feel confident doing it because they feel really with their game day roster, which is 46, if I'm remembering correctly. I feel like it is. It's been a while since I did inactives. Those teams can't do stuff like this because they need every roster spot. The Eagles can really kind of compete and maybe win a Super Bowl with having someone on the roster that is flat out not going to play for them. And they certainly can do it because they've seen the benefits of it with Jordan Mailata. So when I do my 53-man roster, Uar Bernard will be on it. And I think this quote right here about how Jeffrey basically said, we decided when we drafted Mailata, he was going to be the 53rd player. That applies to Uar Bernard as well. Well, one roster spot that is going to open up soon, that is AJ Brown. As we tick closer to the post-June 1st deadline where he will be traded, we got an update from a respected Patriots reporter in New England, and it really makes you view the trade and the compensation, at least it did for me, a little bit differently. So we'll talk about that on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
You tell yourself, no one wants your college-era band tees. But on Depop, people are searching for exactly what you've got. You once paid a small fortune for them at merch stands. Now, a teenager who calls them vintage will offer that same small fortune back. Sell them easily on Depop. Just snap a few photos and we'll take care of the rest. Who knew your questionable music taste would be a money-making machine? Your style can make you cash. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste.
Amazon presents Jeff versus Taco Truck Salsa. Whether it's Verde, Roja, or the orange one. For Jeff, trying any salsa is like playing Russian roulette with a flamethrower. Luckily, Jeff saved with Amazon and stocked up on antacids, ginger tea, and milk. Habanero? More like habanier, yes. Save the everyday with Amazon.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Okay, so I might have been in a different country last week, but some things never change when you come back home, and that is AJ Brown rumors. We are getting closer and closer to the AJ Brown post-June 1st deadline. It's the 12th, which means we have... how many days are in May? I would sing the song. I feel like that song might be the most informative song in the history of songs. They're like 30 days of September, April, June, and November. All of the rest have 31, except February, which has 28, right? So if you look at May, it has 31 days, which means 12, 28. We are like 13 days away from the post-June 1st deadline where AJ Brown can be traded, and still there is speculation as to what the trade compensation will be when AJ is finally traded to the New England Patriots. So recently, Tom Curran, who is, you know, I've been following Patriots beat reporters for a while. I think he is, if not the best, he certainly is among the best that there is, was on Patriots Talk, which is, I guess, his TV show or podcast, and talked about what he's hearing when it comes to what the Patriots will be sending the Eagles for A.J. Brown. And I think he says one thing we've talked about a while, right? A 2028 first. Adam Schefter's talked about it. Enough people are bringing it up now that it feels like that'll be it. He says future, but I think he's talking about 2028 there since the 2026 draft just happened. But he adds something else in there that I think could do a lot in shaping this. So Here's what Tom Curran had to say about what he's hearing in regards to the A.J. Brown trade.
It's at this point just a foregone conclusion from what I understand. Eagles and the Patriots will, and I'm parenthetically adding this, get together on A.J. Brown. The only question is, what's the compensation? I think from what I've heard, this is a future first rounder, but there could be something in return that would set it up so that it's not as much for the New England Patriots to give.
Right. And so that's where I find the Schefter part of the report interesting, because I think people hear it would involve a 2028 first round pick. That doesn't mean
A.J. Brown in a fifth?
A.J. Brown straight up for a first round pick. It means something else. So that to me, whatever would be coming back, if it is a first round pick in 2028 that goes, whatever comes back to me is significant. Because if it's a fifth or a sixth, that's like, who cares? What's the point? But if it's a third or a second, okay, now that makes a lot more sense to me. Like, we could do it up on the...
So, if the Eagles send back the Patriots something of note, like, let's say, as the Tom Curran and the other reporter talks about in that clip, they send A.J. Brown and a third to New England for a 2028 first, that would be a really bad look. If it's a fifth or a sixth, I think that is even a bad look. It's just like a little twist of like, yeah, you had to send us something to get this. But that wouldn't be anything substantial. It would just be, wow, they had to send something back. If it's a fourth or a third, man, that's a rough look for what A.J. Brown's value is around the league. Now, a player they could send back, someone like Kelee Ringo, I think that almost wouldn't matter. Like, Kelee is a great special teams player and all that stuff, but I do think that if it's just a player, like, then it's no big deal. But if they send back a third or a fourth to get the deal done, to get a first, that'll just show you how hard they had to work to get a first round pick back for AJ. And I think it would also ruin a little bit of the, oh, Howie got a first for AJ. Like, not really. Howie had to give up like almost a second or something equal to a first to then get a first back if you include AJ and a third. So that's interesting to me, and I think could be a pretty rough look for the Eagles if they have to end up doing that. So another thing I was thinking about when on my trip was, you know, this idea that the trade is already done. And I actually think we could pinpoint the day the trade happened, or it was like loosely agreed to. If you remember, there was that day, it was a Friday, where Diana Russini was reporting that the Rams had a ton of interest in AJ and that things were close. And it was like kind of, I'm paraphrasing here, but like the Eagles, Patriots, and Rams talking all day. And then when that day ended and the trade didn't happen, that's when Diana reported, it looks like it's going to be post June 1st. And then all these other reporters started saying, no, seems like it's going to be post June 1st. So there was a day of negotiating. The Rams drop out after that, because remember that a few days later they say they're you know, going to keep Davante Adams, and they end up saying they were interested and trade talks happen, but it's not going to happen, right? So the Rams drop out and the post June 1st thing really starts to become a talking point. So to me, what probably happened is behind the scenes, the Rams tried to get him, drove up the price a little bit where the Eagles or the Patriots had to relent to what the Eagles wanted. AJ probably wants to go to the Patriots, but I'm sure would have been open to going to the Rams, could live in LA, could play with Stafford and McVay, like all those things, right? And probably at that point, the Eagles go, okay, here's what we want, but it's going to be post June 1st. And you've not heard anything since then. No other team jumping in, no real talks about trades or anything, right? And that's out also when Howie adopted the AJ is an Eagle thing. I bet that day where there was strong negotiations with the Rams, the Patriots and Eagles came to a conclusion on what they were willing to do. And that's when the trade happened. And now we're all just waiting. So I don't think it's like a firm handshake agreement, but I think it's a, hey, these are the parameters. This is what we're going to do. And it happens on June 1st, barring something crazy, which, you know, some things crazy have happened, but something like super crazy involving AJ, like an injury or whatever, like, you know, God forbid Devontae or Mekhi Lemon gets hurt, like something like that, right? Where all of a sudden the Eagles are like, no, we can't trade AJ. But it does feel like that was the moment when it happened. So as we wait, you know, a few more days, a few more weeks here for AJ to officially be traded, I think, you know, we're going to find out what they get back. And I think that the trade has probably been agreed to since that day. All right. Thank you guys for listening. It was good to be back in the studio talking about football with you guys. We got a pod with me and James later today, and we wait for the schedule, and I can't wait to see it and pick what Go Birds trip we're all going to go on together. All right, until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.